Sheffield Life presents Creative Voice. This summer, 12 young people worked alongside Sheffield Life, the local community radio station, to make two radio programmes, one to explore the theme of gang culture and the other to look at negative and positive stereotypes. This show explores the theme of gang culture.
Sheffield Life, made in Sheffield, made by you.
If you don't respect yourself, no one's gonna respect you. So please respect yourself. If you don't love yourself, nobody's gonna love you. It's a special kind of love, a very special kind of love, a very, very special kind of love. Yeah, it's a special kind of love, a special kind of love, a very, very special kind of love.
All right, we're here at Sheffield Life. It's your boy Sino, and we got
Anissa here.
Yeah, we got Anissa here. The subject we're going to be talking about is gang culture.
When I think of gangs, I directly and immediately associate it with negative stereotypes. Because, you know, people say there are good gangs, and I do obviously believe them, but I don't call positive gangs gangs. I just call them groups or friends. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, same here, I agree. I don't think a group of people is the same as a gang. I think a gang should be not considered as a good gang and a bad gang. I think a gang should be just directed towards bad people who are doing bad things. So, but we're having some more subjects coming up and things like that here at Sheffield Live. So we'll see you guys later.
Next interview is between Naz and Josh, and that's all about gangster music and bullying.
Hi, my name is Naz Liaki. I am reporting from Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm reporting for the subject gang culture. Here with me, I have got Josh, who was bullied when he was a bit young at school. Hi, Josh.
Hiya.
What would your say be about gang culture or gang bullying?
Well, I'm not really keen on when you've got gangs, because most men like rapping, and you get lots of rappers, and then they have knives and all that on their music videos, and then people like young children pick up that idea with you being role modelling, and they go around carrying knives as well.
So do you think it's mostly you know, celebs that are making kids like this nowadays?
It's more TV and the celebs on it. Because I think the celebrities that are on TV should think about what they're doing before they actually make a TV advert or a song.
What sort of people do get bullied? What do you think, in your point of view? Who are the most people that get bullied and why?
Well, overweight people are the number one people who get bullied. Other people, because some bullies, they bully people that are different, like they might have a rash or something like that, and it makes them feel like they have to, it makes them feel like they have to bully them and make fun of them in that way, and they don't know that it's actually causing other problems, like they might gain weight because they're emotional eaters.
So is there a way for these bullies to get, you know, stopped, or do you think the only way is to just keep on letting it happening and ignoring it, or do you think there's a way of us like to say stop right there?
The best way to say stop, because if you're getting bullied and you bottle it up too much, that's when you become the violent one, because you've bottled it up and then you just burst. The easy thing is to talk to somebody about it and tell somebody and walk away from from bad situations.
Don't mind me asking, but what sort of reasons did you get bullied for, and like how long did it go for?
I got bullied for lots of reasons. I got bullied because of the way I acted, the way I looked, and the way I acted emotionally when things happened.
Did you ever self-harm yourself?
When I got angry, I used to try and hurt myself, or I used to punch things. Sometimes it was other people.
How did you make this stop then for yourself? What did you do, and what sort of message would you like to give all the kids out there?
Well, I would like to give to the kids out there, the best thing to do is tell somebody. I went at school, I was being bullied, so I went to the teachers and I went to my pupil support and they helped me. They got all they told everyone that was bullying me that I'm being they're really hurting me, and that if they don't stop it, someone's gonna have to put their foot down.
What about the message? Have you got a message for the bullies out there? What sort of message would you like to give them today if they're still listening?
Well, if there's any bullies out there that are listening right now, I would like to tell you to back off and give people their space. Thank you.
And that was Josh for us, and this was Naz Liakit for reporting for 93.2 Sheffield Live. Thank you very much.
That was Naz from Sheffield Live interviewing Josh about his experience of bullying. So, do people have a choice to listen to gang music? Let's go over to Razak interviewing Connor about this. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name's Connor, and I'm joined here with Razak. Say hello to everyone, Razak.
Hello, everyone.
Right, and we're here to talk about gangs and gang culture. So first up, we're going to talk about gangs, but through gangster rap. What is gangster rap, and how do you define it? Razak, what do you
think? Do you know what? Gangster rap, is there such a term as gangster rap?
Yeah.
You think there is, right? But...
Well, that's the thing, that's the question, because a lot of people would say that gangster rap is something that's been invented. Well, a lot of people that have negative attitudes towards hip-hop and rap would use gangster rap as a term to kind of pigeonhole and put everything in the same boat and just prove that it's not got any worth.
Do you know what I think, personally, right? People that hated hip-hop and so on and so, right, they just thought, okay, let's make it a bad thing and call it gangster rap instead, because hip-hop, there's many sub-genres underneath hip-hop, as gangster rap, just gangster, this and that, but it's all...
Personally, and I think that it falls both ways, because there'll be artists that are defined, or everyone thinks of as gangster rappers, that won't necessarily be promoting violence or doing all the things that gangster rappers do. But on the other hand, there's plenty of normal rappers or other rappers who say things that are just as bad as people that are classed as gangster rappers. And it's often like an indifference, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there doesn't seem to be continuity between the two things. Do you think gangster rap, if it exists, which is what we're saying, do you think it has a negative effect on society? Do you think it's a bad message and a bad image for particularly young people when you talk about influence?
You know, it all depends on how you take it, really. If you're one of them worried parents and you don't want your children getting involved, then don't buy them CDs like that. If it says 18 on it, then don't buy them. But if you're buying it them and then complaining about basically it's negative and blah blah blah, then I don't know what to say. But then, example, you know, the movies, there's a lot of gangster stuff on the movies, and the parents still watch it with their children. But
and don't you think with the music, we'll talk about movies and stuff a bit later, but don't you think with the music that also there's a sometimes it's with children, you treat them as if they're too small and too stupid and too young. People know that killing is wrong, even aged 12, 13, 14. Yeah. Sometimes it's about people a bit maturer than you think, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Just because a 12-year-old kid has bought a 50-cent CD and he's saying, you know, whatever in a lyric, it doesn't mean he's going to go out and cap a few people, do you know what I mean? Or something like that. There's a bit of reality check in there sometimes.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later, about fantasy and reality, how people like the fantasy.
You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Hello, welcome back.
On 93.2 FM.
We're here talking about gangs.
Sheffield Live.
I'm Connor, and I'm joined by Razak.
Hello.
Right, so what is a gang? Because we were talking about gangster rap before, but what is a gang itself? Is a gang an organised group of people who commit violence and work together as more professional, or is a gang just a group of friends that knock about together?
Depends. A group of friends would like to call themselves a little gang, but not one of them gangs that go around doing violence and stuff. But real gangs are big gangs that go around actually shooting people or doing big major robberies and this and that. A lot of people just class gangs as anything.
But don't you think it's really ambiguous, really open? No one really knows, because the people that are often defining it, saying that's a gang, and there's police or media, people that are writing things, they're not experiencing themselves So what they're calling, what most of Britain is being called a gang, or being pointed at and saying that's a gang, that's not necessarily the people that are living it. Do you know what I mean? So there's a big kind of contradiction in who defines it and who's actually living in a gang. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And do you think that it's unfair the way people are labelled as gangs as well? Because you were talking about that earlier.
You know what? It is, because I'm not gonna try and be racist to you. I'm not racist, but like, if you see a group of five white lads, not like just like hair spiked up or so and so, see them like walking down the road, you won't think nothing about it. You won't think they're a gang. You won't get scared. You won't get intimidated.
Yeah.
But now it's like, if you see a group of black people or Asians or so and so ethnic people walking down the road now, like five of them, straight away you'll just stereotype them as a gang, and like you'll see whoever's in like in front or so and so, it'll be the gang leader or something. But it's not always like that. It's just
and the likelihood is that a lot of the people who do actually get into the really serious gangs later in their life have probably grown up, like you say, being labelled as a gang, even though they're just not necessarily a gang. And if you're constantly told that you're a gang, if you're constantly told that you're a gangster and you're a troublemaker, then you're more likely to behave like one.
No, that's some people when they do like be told that they're a gangster or they're in a gang, or some of them will actually get happy and then try and like cause like anything else to like make them bigger and have more respect and stuff like that. But if in the early ages, if they didn't like they weren't classed as a gang, if they weren't thinking like, if people weren't saying, oh, just because you're with that many people, you're in a gang. They won't have had that mentality.
Because crucially, that's when it happens. That's when people get into gangs, when they're young, when they're kind of under the age of 20, I'd say.
Yeah.
And no one gets to the age of 30 and has been on a quiet career and thinks, oh, I might join a gang. but, you know, like, people join gangs because they're influenced at a young age, and because often it's because they feel neglected or segregated from everyone else. Like, why do you think people join gangs? Why do you?
People join gangs because many reasons. There's the protection.
Yeah,
there's
safety,
like,
is one thing.
Yeah, there's belonging into, like, belong to something.
Idea of being a group, and it's like a family.
Yeah,
if you've not
like
had
a
good
family
at home, then you can find that family in a gang. Do you know?
Your gang members will help you and will do this and that. But
which is often why a lot of gang members are from really deprived backgrounds.
But it's further on in life, it's not gonna help you, is it?
Okay. And what I've got another question. This is quite controversial. Do you think there are any positive effects of gangs or gang culture?
Do you know what? There might be. I think there is, because you are staying safe. If you belong to someone, not a lot of people are gonna like want to come and fight you, or want to come and like see what you're around, or blah 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 kind of stuff.
So safety. So someone that could have been picked on and bullied on might find safety.
Yeah, that's the only positive.
Yeah, obviously that we're not saying that there aren't negative effects, but
but there is.
I suppose you could say distribution of wealth, like gangs get money, and maybe people who didn't have money before. It's about you could talk about that, but I'm not going to say. So the other effects of gangs, obviously violence is one.
Yeah.
And just a general way of living that can be quite
violence and crime and
aggressive and controversial in the way it's like a lot of misogynistic like beliefs. That's often the thing that's linked to gangster rap, is it's misogynistic
and drugs as well.
And drugs is the other big
drugs
one.
Is
the influence
thing,
of drugs. And drugs is specifically linked to like playing the game. Do you know what I mean? What you all hear in the movies, and like we're talking about the movies and stuff, but we touched on it earlier, and we're saying how there is a bit of a contradiction in the way that hundreds of kids around Britain and hundreds of adults will either buy CDs that have gangster rap, or go and watch films. The amount of people in this country that will have gone and watched The Godfather, particularly probably men.
Adults, yeah.
That gone and really enjoyed that film. Like, and it's a really hard moral question. Can you watch and enjoy the fantasy without like agreeing with the reality of it? So if you go and if you buy these albums or if you watch these films, are you supporting gangs? Because essentially you're appreciating that they happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going against them.
No.
It's an interesting perspective. Can you like listen to gangster rap and appreciate it just for a musical value or just for artistic credit? Can you like the skill and the wordplay and the music behind it? Is that possible, or is it wrong to like it because it's morally wrong?
Do you know what? A lot of people will have watched all them gangster films. It's all to do with drama and stuff like that, but they're not realizing that it does happen.
Yeah.
It does actually happen. Yeah. And they're supporting that kind of stuff, but then they're not supporting people that are staying out from the streets to make their music, to make legal money. They're not supporting
I would say that a lot of pieces, like music, for example, or films, they don't necessarily promote it, but they just are accepting that it's there. They're showing that, they're saying this is what happens, this is reality.
Yeah.
But that's often misrepresented by whoever, the press or something, as being promoting. I would say that anyway.
Everyone needs a reality check, really.
Yeah. And you were talking before we started this on about you write lyrics yourself. What makes you write lyrics, and what do you like to write lyrics about?
My lyrics, it all depends on what mood I'm in. If I'm in an angry mood, I will write like violent lyrics, but I won't go outside and do what I'm saying on my lyrics. It's all part of the freedom of speech. I'd rather like write them down, my anger, like what, how far my anger will get me, rather than just go out and do something. But at times as well, like I'll write about girls and stuff like that. Something like I enjoy and something I don't enjoy. But it's like it's all different part of things in my mind.
That was for Zach and Connor about the effects of gang music. Thank you. Here's a youth probation manager who works at the Youth Offending Service in Sheffield, Wayne Hoyle.
Youth offending teams have been around for about the past 10 years. Everywhere in the UK has to have a youth offending team. And they were initially set up to deal with young people who'd offended and were subject to some kind of court order. And the youth offending team's traditional role is to supervise those young people whilst they're on that order and try and work with them so that they don't go on to re-offend again. My specific job in Sheffield, though, is we recognise that that's really good work, but we've actually invested a lot of money into trying to identify young people before they get to that stage, before they're arrested, just when they're starting to get into a bit of trouble, so we can actually stop them from progressing to that stage, if you like. So, yeah.
Okay. And who are the young people that you work with, and how do you help them?
Well, we work with any 8 to 17-year-olds across the city, and quite often it will be their school. It might be a local police officer, it might be a social worker, or people like that will actually call us or get in touch with us to say, it might even be a parent actually, to say, we think this young person, they've got into a bit of trouble, they're starting to create kind of problems in the local neighbourhood. They'll contact us. We'll then go out, we'll meet the young person, we'll meet their family, we'll talk to them, and they don't have to work with us, but quite often they will do, because we'll ask them, you know, why they're getting into trouble and what they'd like to do to help stay out of trouble. And we put a plan of action in place for them. And as I say, it's talking to them and asking what they want. So they might have particular problems around anger issues. They might be just getting into drugs or alcohol. So obviously we put specific interventions in place for that. But it might be that they're just bored and they want something else to do. So we've got lots of activities that we can link them up with. And we generally work with young people for probably around 3 to 6 months, something like that.
Okay, and so do they have a choice of whether or not they want to get involved or not?
Yeah, at that stage they do, because they're not subject to any formal court order or anything like that. Although we are quite assertive, I guess, so we will try and pursue young people. And it's very rare that actually young people don't want to engage with us. It occasionally happens, but the workers are really good. And as I say, we talk to the family, we talk to the young person, we kind of get an idea of what they like out of it as well. Obviously, when you do offend and you are subject to some kind of court order, then you do have to work with us, otherwise you'll be returned to court, unfortunately.
Is that the stage where you are forced to kind of work with you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just go through it. If you get in trouble for the first time with the police, usually given what's called a police reprimand, which is essentially a formal telling off in a police station. If you get into trouble again with the police, you normally get something called a final warning, which is again a kind of formal telling off at a police station, but then you're offered some work from ourselves. The third time you get into trouble, or if it's so serious you can elite from those two stages, then you have no choice but to go to court. And when you go to court for the first time, the court really only have one of two options. They either give you a court order called a referral order, which means you must work with us, otherwise you'll be returned to court, or you're sent to prison. So the third time you offend, it's either a court order or prison, depending on the seriousness of that offence.
And that a court order, does it have any other alternative beside the youth offending service?
Not when you're at that stage, no. Then it is the youth offending team who you must work with and who you supervise with.
So there's not any other organisation?
No, there isn't. But we do work with lots of other organisations, so we try and coordinate a whole package of things. We don't do everything. We'll put some things in place ourselves and you'll be given a worker from our service, but we work with organisations in the community and things like that as well.
Okay, thank you very much. And can you tell me how and why young people get involved in guns and gangs?
Gosh, yes, for a variety of reasons. I mean, it can vary from peer pressure to bravado to that feeling of, you know, belonging to actually young people who maybe don't have a really stable family background, who don't really have any positive role models in their life, will often seek to find that in peers, and sometimes that's in a negative way. Sometimes young people don't really have, you know, aspirations, and the only aspiration they might have in the local communities will that they will see individuals in their community who have money, who have a certain amount of respect, and they often aspire to be like that, because unfortunately other opportunities kind of, you know, aren't pointed out to them or promoted strongly enough, I guess.
And you said that children who haven't got anything to do at home, they can get very easily involved in gangs.
Yeah.
And you offer them activities to get involved with.
Yep.
But do you not think there are enough activities out there for them to search and look for themselves?
Do you know what? I actually think there's more activities for young people to do than there actually ever has been. And, you know, a while ago, my organisation, we actually directly provided activities ourselves, and we were taking young people out of their communities and just doing exclusive activities with ourselves. And actually, we've now moved away from that, because we've recognised that there's so much stuff going on in local communities. So we're trying to tap into that and actually get young people involved in the local communities. So we're not taking them out of that. We're actually helping facilitate, you know, stuff that's going on in their neighbourhoods, because then that's something that they continue long after we've been involved. So we've kind of changed our thoughts a bit around that.
Okay. And what are the dangers for them to get involved in gang culture?
I mean, it's the obvious dangers are the risks to themselves. And, you know, you obviously know yourselves, the kind of high-profile cases that have been in Sheffield, where the most serious is death, you know, and that's such an impact on not only that young person, but on their family and the local community and friends. And I started my career actually working in prison with very serious Category A offenders, and I often saw kind of how damaged some of those adults were. So it's quite nice to be able to work in my job now, where I can actually work at the other end, where we can work with young people and hopefully divert them away from that as soon as possible.
Many young people say they're also good gangs. What are your opinions about that?
Yeah, do you know what? There's sometimes people just label young people who are in a group as a gang, and there's that kind of negative thing around it. A lot of gangs of young people are doing absolutely nothing wrong at all. And it was interesting, because somebody said to me today that, you know, quite often when they see young people with hoods and in groups, they're naturally fearful of those young people. And that they cited an example where they crossed the road of young people who were hanging outside some shops. And then what they noticed is that there was a young mum with a child in a pushchair who came out of the shop. And actually what the young people did was actually part to let her through and then helped her with a pushchair. And he felt so guilty for having that kind of stereotypical image in his head. And of course, you know, the media don't help with the portrayal of young people. And I think that's probably what causes a lot of that fear, really.
But do you think that gangs are, like, negative in reality?
I don't think they have to be. I think if you've got a group of young people who are a gang, who are security for one another, and that's why they hang around in that gang, and they're just socialising together, then that's not necessarily a bad thing. Obviously, if you've got a criminal gang, that's something entirely different.
Okay, thank you very much. What is your advice to young people sorry, what's your advice to young people in this kind of situations?
Who are at risk of getting involved in gangs and, yes. and things like that?
Or young people who are already in gangs as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, it's actually very difficult once you're involved in a gang. But in Sheffield, we're very fortunate because we're actually in a position that, that most other cities in the UK aren't, where we have a fabulous team of professionals who can actually support that young person. And they're not there to, you know, get them arrested or anything like that. They are genuinely there to support them. And if that young person feels that they do want to come out of that gang, then every assistance is there available for them. And that's, there's not many places in the UK where that is actually available for young people.
That's very good. And why do you think there are many gangs in Sheffield?
Do you know what? I don't think there are that many gangs. There are obviously some very well-known gangs, but I think in terms of numbers, I think for the size of the city, we don't have a huge problem with gangs. I think it's those few high-profile incidents that have probably blown it out of proportion and makes it feel like there's more of a problem than there actually is.
So that's relative?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That was Wayne Hoyle. The Youth Offending Service is there mainly to support those who go into the wrong direction. And that's why we're going over to an interview with a person who has previous experience of being in a gang himself. And he's going to talk about the differences between positive and negative gangs. I'm going to ask you some questions about gang culture.
Right.
Okay. What do you think of gangs?
Well, there's two type of gangs. There's good, there's bad. Obviously, bad ones, they get up to no good. You know, weapons and stuff like that. And the good ones, you know, they just hang around. Chill out and
why do you think there are bad gangs?
Drugs. You know, stuff like that. Drugs, like robbery, stuff like that. You know, there's like bandanger gangs. Like different gangs like bandangers. They'll fight with each other. Weapons and that.
And how comes gangs get involved with drugs and knives?
Well, it's streets, isn't it? So, like, let's say if I were brought up on Pitsmoor and the people around me, they were all drug dealing and I was young and I thought, yeah, that guy's got a good car. I want that when I get older. So obviously I'm going to start drug dealing to get that car and jewellery and stuff like that.
So, do you think gangs are created by the older people and therefore influence the younger people?
Yeah. And through video games, like GTA and stuff like that, obviously it makes the little kids like hyped up on that. Obviously, you see a gun on TV when you're young, you're like, yeah, man, I want a gun. So, obviously, they're going to think, the older lads, that's how they get a gun. I'm going to start joking, like, I'm going to get a gun like that.
And what's the difference between a good and a bad gang?
A gang, yeah. A gang is just a group of people. The bad type of gang is what I've just explained to you. And a good type of gang is just a group of friends that are just chilling out. Not, well, just like loitering about or something like that. But they're not really bad.
But a gang is much bigger than just a group or a crew.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Let's say I have a good gang. And there'll be about 30 of us, 40 of us. It'll be, let's say, an Eid celebration. We'll go downtown to a bar, have a chill and that, play out games, we'll go to town, you know, smoke some weed and stuff like that. You know?
Do you think those should be called gangs?
Not really.
Why
it's
not?
It's a good preference chilling, isn't it? It's not, we're not messing about, we're not up to, you know what I mean? We're not messing about.
So do you associate gangs with negative stereotypes?
Yeah.
Why?
Obviously, you know what, I don't even know what negative stereotype means.
So, like, negative stereotypes are people who are, like, who can intimidate you.
Oh, yeah. And
people who do bad stuff as well.
Yeah, bad gangs intimidate people, obviously. Let's say, I'm in an alleyway with a few people, like, let's say, my gang, and there's a woman walking past. What's the first thing you're going to think? You're going to think, oh, you know what I mean? People with hoodies, something bad's going to happen. So obviously they're going to get shook, well, scared, and they're going to go out the other way. They're not going to go through that alleyway, even though there's a group of lads there. And they don't care. Obviously, even if they have their hoodies off, they're still going to get scared.
Yeah, so you associate hoodies with gangs as well. So do you think people in a gang don't feel respected by other people? Is that why they have a gang?
Yeah.
And why do you think they're not respected?
Well, some of it is kind of about respect. Well, most of it actually, because obviously, if you're on your own and you're walking down the streets and that, and you just looked at someone for like 1 second and then looked back down, that guy will probably have a gang or come up to you and say, "What are you looking at?" You get beat up, you're gonna think, you know what? I wanna be in a gang, so I've got people protecting me. So obviously he's gonna think, obviously if he's young, like 14, 15, he's gonna want a gang behind him to back him if someone beats him up next time. He's got someone to protect him.
So do you think they're more likely to have their own gang or join the gang of the people who intimidate him?
No.
No, so they could join the same gang?
Yeah.
Okay, and have you ever felt unsafe because of a gang?
No.
Because you're in a gang yourself?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say, okay. What are the good and bad things about being in a gang?
Bad things, someone can lose their life. Good thing, well, there's no good things, actually.
So when you started, you said there are some good gangs, and now you say, you start with saying someone can lose his or her life. What do you mean about that?
Well, if you're talking about a bad gang, so obviously they're up to no good. And then the bad things about like people who, like too much violence, murders, you know, stuff like that. And the good gangs, just, well, there's no bad thing really, but sometimes, you know, you might have one or two falling out or something like that.
And what do you think what do you think that can lead to, like when they fall out?
A fight.
Is that why you said someone might lose their life?
Yeah, depends if you're drunk.
So do you associate gangs with only bad things?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any messages for other young people out and about being in a gang?
Could say, like, don't use guns, never use a knife. If you need protection, go to the police. Or if you don't want to go to the police, go to your family, go to your mum and dad, they'll sort it out. Don't deal with it yourself.
And what if they get intimidated if they do so?
And then, just same thing, go to your family, you got school teachers, you got youth workers, you've got your family, you've got your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister, you know, things like that. If you ain't got a mum and dad, obviously you've always got a youth worker. You've got your connections, advice or whatever.
Don't keep it to yourself.
Huh? Yeah, don't keep it to yourself.
Thank you very much for the interview with this young person. So Simon, what do you think about this interview?
It's had relevant points that have been brought up about faults in gangs, and obviously something needs to be done. And in a radio station like Sheffield Live, it's been brought up here, but why is it that it's brought up here and it's not even brought up in mainstream radio station? And that's where all the negativity is.
Everyone, thank you very much for listening, and we hope you join us next time.
I don't know exactly when it started going downhill. Let's take it back to the days it was about skill. Before it was sweet boys parading as tough geezers, educated men naming themselves after drug dealers. When it was a way to vent a man's pain, before it became a tool for presidential campaigns. Before the 50s, Lil Wayne's and Rick Ross's, I'm about to show you the essence of what hip-hop is. Before it was about street credibility, when it was he's alright but he's better lyrically. Think about the zombies, your bad words influence. Before hip-hop became an advert for ignorance, before it became kamikaze, I'm half Gil Scott Heron and half Talib Kweli. You think getting shot makes you the next best thing? For every 50 cent there's at least 50 MF Grimms, and that's grim. I know.
but don't believe the flipping media or what you read on Wikipedia. It used to be all for the love, now pricks are greedier. This business is sicker than the infant with leukemia. I live hip-hop, don't disrespect my household. I'm about to kill these rapper cells at internet downloads. We've come a long way from the old-timers. Now it's all 360 deals and me of ghostwriters. I'm a controversial, cause I'm not commercial, or cause I don't rap like a rapper that wants to hurt you. Every man's bragging, making anthems for gang banging. I'm like a man standing over the Grand Canyon. Hip-hop broke down barriers like skin tone. Hip-hop 2008 is selling ringtones. Hip-hop even had your son dressing up in pink clothes. Is hip hop responsible for your kids? So I think so.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
This programme was made by Anissa, Danny, Juwan, Kate, Marvis, Mananuri, Nazma, Nakisha, Shiraz, Warren, Connor, and Razak. Other contributors were Wayne Hoyle from the Youth Offending Service, Shine, Right Step, Oh Boy, and Nathan Gordon. Special thanks go to Fabian Beckett and Pete Beeston for production support. This project was a partnership between Sheffield Futures, Media Box, and Sheffield Live. The two tracks used in this production were Loki's Special at the top of the programme and Essence at the end. The young people involved in the project felt that Loki's lyrics were conscious and that he was a positive role model. So thanks to him. You've been listening to a Sheffield Live production.